Good. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to have you here, and welcome to everybody today that's come and visitors that have come to worship with us. It's good to have you all here. How many of you are ready for winter? Oh, yeah, there's some hands up. Well, my hand is down this morning. I think I am now, but when I came up to the entrance to the church here, I hit the brakes and I skidded right past the entry there. So I wasn't ready this morning, but I think I am now. So, yeah. But no, it's good to see winter here again. And, you know, God is faithful. He's promised that as long as the earth remains seed time and harvest, springtime and fall, winter and summer, and all those things will never cease. They'll always stay with us. He's going to keep them going. So we serve a faithful God. So this morning, I wanted to talk a little bit in the book of Genesis. But first of all, we hope that you have enjoyed and been greatly challenged in the prophecy teaching that we had last month. Kurt headed that up, did a great job. And, you know, as we think about prophecy, we thought, you know what, we need to, from prophecy, go into evangelism. And that's what I'd like to focus on the next couple of weeks is evangelism and encourage us to become courageous and share our faith a little bit more, to become ready for that. And in Matthew 24, Jesus says this here, verses 32 to 34. He gives us an illustration. Where are we at here? Okay. 32 to 34. Now learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches bud and its leaves begin to sprout, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see all these things, you can know his return is very near. In the same, right at the door. And I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass from the scene until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. So Jesus gave us an illustration. You know, we can all go outside in the springtime and we can see a tree starting to bud. We can recognize those signs. And what the Lord is telling us is that in the same way that we see and understand all the things that are happening in our times today, that we should know about that as God's people. We should understand those things and be able to see that the time is near. The Lord is right at the door. And why the generation, Jesus said, also to another passage, he said that it will not pass away from the scene until all these things takes place. And I believe the church today, to be healthy, Christians today need to know and understand the events of the last days. Because people all around us are realizing something is going on. Something is different. Something is going on. Things are moving fast. 50 years ago, we would never understand how one person could control the whole world. But we can see that now. And we can definitely see that now. And I talk to people all the time, and they say, I can see. I heard about the Antichrist, and it's scary. So as God's people, we need to be ready to give them an answer for the hope that we have. And in 2 Timothy 4, 2 and 5, we read this passage here. Preach the word of God, be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. So we're in those days now, brothers and sisters. We're there now. And we need to understand the times. We need to be understanding them so that we can give people an answer to the hope that we have. And so the next couple of weeks, we want to focus on being ready, being excited. How many of you here today are excited about the Lord coming again? Yeah, just that all hands go up, right on. We are going to be more excited if we are going about his business when he comes, right? We're going to be more excited if we are going about his business when he comes. And that's what we need to be doing. So Matthew 24:42-44 says this. He says, "So you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Understand this, if a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You must also be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected." So we need to be ready. Be about your Father's business. It was like Jesus said in Matthew 24, we just read that. It'll be just like in Noah's day. Everyone was caught up in doing their own thing, no time for God, and boom, judgment comes. We were talking about that last week with Lawrence, and that I'll be talking a little more about the life of Noah next week and studying his life and gaining some insight from there. But can imagine when the flood came, God shut the door on the ark, and the ground literally exploded from underneath, the Bible says, and it came down from the up above in the heavens like buckets. It would have been a horrific time for the people. And all of a sudden they would realize at that very moment what Noah was telling us is true, and judgment has come. So people are needing an answer for the hope that we have today. So sharing the good news, evangelism. Has everybody got our mission statement memorized by now? We live, on the front of your bulletins there, we live to be ready to use every opportunity to share the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Teaching the disciples to obey all the commands our Lord Jesus Christ has given us. And that's from Acts 2:24 and Matthew 28:18-20. We have good news, and there are people around us who are needing answers, that good news. So the generations that are around us today, and that's one of the things that we have to realize today, that the generations that are here today around us, many people have never been inside a church. Many people have never heard the gospel. Many people don't even know what the Bible is about. They don't know who Jesus is. And as we think about sharing the good news today, sometimes we have to be good listeners and realize that the person, we need to take them right back to the book of Genesis, to the beginnings. And my wife and I were on holiday a couple years ago down in the States. We went through Kentucky, Dry Ridge, Kentucky, and down there Ken Ham has set up the ministry Answers in Genesis. There is an ark, yeah, there it is, there that he built. And that's pretty amazing that you cannot believe the size of that ship. It was. But the whole idea in the teaching of the setting up the ark, and by the way, there's thousands of people that go through that every day, and it's like a learning lesson as you walk through the ark. Of yes, it could actually happen. This could actually be true, and it is true, that God could bring a flood, that all of the animals and the people could be saved. Noah and his family, not all of the animals, but all the species could be saved, and Noah and his family were saved on that ark. And they took on that journey. And yes, it could be true. It is a lesson in the book of Genesis. So, and that was a very interesting trip that year, taking that tour, Dry Ridge, Kentucky. So if you're ever gonna travel in the States this winter, don't miss the Ark. It's there. So Genesis. We're going back to Genesis, and it was written 3,500 years ago by Moses, spanning about 2,500 years of history. So we cover in Genesis covers the creation, the fall of man when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the flood, the nations, the Tower of Babel, like we heard this morning from the kids' video. Hey, kids, that's the Tower of Babel. The nations were split up. And then Abraham came, and Isaac, and Jacob, and the 12 tribes of Israel. And that's where Genesis kind of ends, where Israel goes down into the Egypt, and they become slaves down there. So we want to take us back to the starting, and and this, as we share the good news to people, this first verse in Genesis is so important. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let's say that together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, when you say that, we kind of take it for granted, but remember that there's a lot of people that don't believe that today. They believe in a big bang or a randomness, and we have to, you know, take them back to the Word of God, because the Word of God is powerful, and it can work in the hearts and minds of people. So it's an amazing verse, that first verse, and it's a wonderful foundation. There is God who brought it all about. No randomness. And, you know, as we come to people and we share the Bible, and we share this passage of Scripture, we tell them that I believe that God exists and that He created everything that we can see. Well, why do you do that? Well, friend, just look around you. Do you really believe that this could all happen randomly? Or you take a look at the Bible. The Bible, everything that the Bible says has come to pass 100%. Everything. It's absolutely accurate to a T. And and another interesting part about the Bible is that it is the oldest book and yet the best-selling book today. Those are things that we can share, but it's important that we share these things with people because they're looking for answers today. And Jesus, did you know that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth is the first verse. And the last verse of the Bible is Revelation 22:20-21. He says, Jesus says, I am coming soon. So, lots today don't believe in God that He created. Our job is to share what the Bible says, to share the truth of God's Word. And His Word is alive and powerful to move into people's lives. So Genesis is, we're just going to have a quick overview of creation there. God created the light and the sky and the land and the sun, moon and the stars. He created the sea creatures and birds, kids, and He created the animals, the livestock, and man on the very last day, on the sixth day. So does anybody see, is there a common word that you see there in the story of creation as you go through it? Is there one word that you see there that God said about it? Anyone? He said, it is good. That's right. So when He comes to man, what does He say? It is very good. Yeah. Yeah. So when we come, when God was finished creating, His creation was absolutely perfect, was good, and when man, it was good, and when man came on the scene, it was very good. And so it was perfect in every way. Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden, they experienced his presence. Can you imagine that? And by the way, we're going to go back to that someday. We're going to see our Lord face to face, our Lord and our God face to face. And we'll be going back to that. You know, when God created, he didn't look and say, oh, I should have done that different. Nope, he never did that. You know how we do that. Eh? We build something or we do something and say, oh man, I should have done that different. You know, and we do it six times and we still don't do it right. But God did it, created the whole universe right and perfect the first time. That's God. That's the God that we serve, that we worship. It was absolutely perfect. God did it right the first time. Creation was perfect. And so we see in God planting the Garden of Eden and putting Adam and Eve there to look after it. They had work to do, but they also were very close and intimate. In an intimate relationship with God. They walked with God in the garden. So that's pretty neat. That's hard to imagine, but that's where the original creation was. So awesome. So good. So then they were free to eat of the tree of life. They were going to live forever. How many of you believe that if we're in Christ, we're going to live forever? Yeah, that's good. Yeah, because we are. And we'll talk about that a little later. So they were free in the garden except to eat from the tree of life so they would live forever. But the only thing they were not free to eat from was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And one command God gave them. But in Genesis, we see God, when God said, okay, it says Genesis 1, 26 to 27. Let's read that. That's important. It says, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So when God created man, he gave us something more. He said, let us create man in our own image to be like us. And he gave the, then we would rule over the earth and the animals. We can think, reason, and choose, and we can willingly choose. God didn't want us to be programmed like the animals. He wanted to give us the ability to think and reason and make choices for ourselves. And that was the difference. We are reflections of God's glory. Let us make man in our image. We have the ability to reflect his character. And Galatians 5 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So we have the ability to reflect God's character as his creations. Man is the only one that can do that. So knowing that we are made in God's image and share his character gives us worth. Because we are made in his image, we can feel positive about ourselves. And if we criticize others or ourselves, it's criticizing what God has made and the abilities he has given us. Knowing you are a person of worth helps us love God, know him personally, and make a valuable contribution to those around you. So I'm going to say that again. Knowing you are a person of worth, and that's the way God's made you, you are valuable. You are a person of worth. Helps us love God, know him personally, and make a valuable contribution to those around you. Today, do you know that? Do you know that you are a person of great worth in God's eyes? Are you standing firm on that today? Because it's important as his people that we never get away from that. We don't waver from that. Some days we get up, we just don't feel real good. I don't know if you're like me, until I get that first cup of coffee on in me in the morning, I'm like, man, I don't feel very good. So if I rely on my feelings that, oh, that must be how God feels about me, That could get to me, couldn't it? But that's not the way it is. God's love for us is constant, and it's firm, and it's all the time. So we need to be firm and stand on that. And so my mom and dad, I remember growing up, I always looked up to my mom and dad growing up, and I always wanted to be them. I always wanted them to come up and pat me on the back, you know, and say, good job. Every once in a while, they would say that. Sometimes they wouldn't because I didn't do a good job, but or I didn't listen to them. But most of the time, they would say, good job, son. And it's different. It's really good when we can say, hear from our parents, I love you. And God is saying to us, I love you. When he created us, we were so special to him. And I looked for my dad's love, my mom's love. But today, more so than ever, I'm thankful for God's love toward me, towards us. And people today are desperate to know that God loves them. You know, there is when I share, when I have a conversation with people, there and I tell them, you know, friend, God loves you deeply, dearly. He loves you. There is nothing more that wells up more in my heart as being an impact into that person's life than telling them that God loves them, and he does. And that's a message that we have to share to people, that God loves them. So we just, sometimes it's the simple things, but we just forget to share that with people, and they go away, and they just are so encouraged. So, okay, because of our ability that God has created in us, we can choose. Genesis 3, 1 to 5. We'll just read that. And this is the first part of our message, God loves us. The second part of our message is that we've sinned. Sin has broken that relationship that we have with God. So in Genesis 3, 15, 3, 1 to 5. I'm going to read that whole passage, 1 to 13. The serpent, chapter 3, 1 to 13. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. The woman was convinced. She saw the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the garden, wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, where are you? He replied, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. Who told you that you were naked? The Lord God asked. Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I command you not to eat? The man replied, it was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it. Then the Lord God asked the woman, what have you done? The serpent deceived me, she replied. That's why I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all animals, a domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live, and I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. So there we have it, the temptation And Adam and Eve give in to the temptation. So God gave us the ability that we can willingly choose, and sin broke the relationship that we have, that close relationship that we had with God. And as we read on in Genesis chapter 3, we see that God banished Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. And that would have been a huge blow to Adam and Eve. That must have been days of weeping. I can't imagine what that couple went through when they realized the enormity of what they had done. They had disobeyed God and broke fellowship. Sin entered the picture. But Adam and Eve were convinced their way was better than God's. How many of us are convinced of that sometimes? They lost trust in God. They thought, we think, God was keeping something from me. God is keeping something from me. God doesn't have my best interest in mind. So I need to just roll ahead on this and do it. I'm not going to wait. I think God's given me an answer. You know, we all go through the same struggles that they went through. And, you know, just like Adam and Eve, as soon as we step out of fellowship, out of line with God, and we sin, our eyes are open, and we can see. And sometimes we've got a huge struggle ahead of us because of bad decisions. But the Lord is faithful. He was faithful to Adam and Eve. They had still had probably 900 years ahead of them, and they lived to serve the Lord through those years, as far as we know. So Adam and Eve, they felt shame and tried to make excuses, defending themselves. And we do that too, don't we? We make excuses. We try to defend ourselves. And I remember how I used to hide from my dad and mom when I did wrong. And that was the hardest thing. Sometimes that's the hardest lessons we learn in life, is to be able to own up to what we did. And we need to do that. We need to fess up and confess our sin and ask God, forgive us. So, you know, we need to stop trying to hide. Be honest. Take responsibility and own up to what we've done wrong. And become absolutely convinced God's ways and plan are the best in our lives. That's where we need to be. Absolutely convinced that His ways are the best for us. Wait for the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Sometimes we just aren't willing to wait. You know, and we need to be willing to wait for God to give us an answer till we're sure. So it's God who corrects our mistakes. And He did that in Genesis. So and God shares His plan of salvation in Genesis 3:15, and that is part of our message today as His people. The gospel is presented way back in Genesis. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. So Satan would be hostile towards God's people. And but the Lord Jesus would strike his head, but Satan would hurt him on the heel. And that's the way it was on the cross. The Lord, during his lifetime here on earth, he suffered a lot of torment, torture on the cross. But on the cross, Jesus absolutely defeated the work of Satan right there in the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was God himself on the cross dying for our sin. So it took God himself to remedy the situation, because in Genesis 3:15, God said, "And I will." So it was God that did it, not anything we can do. So God shares his plan of salvation, and he defeated Satan, the enemy, on the cross. So Old Testament people, they could look ahead to the coming Savior and restoration of fellowship with God. As New Testament people, we can look back on this event that was prophesied and took place 2,000 years ago. So number one, just in closing, just need to remember this today, that we have this message, that us as God's people have this message. And we're created by God, and He loves us so much. Don't forget to share that with people, to tell people that God loves them. And it's such a simple message, but it's so true. And He meant for us to have fellowship with Him, live with Him forever. Number two, but we messed up. So we need to share with people that that's the problem, that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So next week I'm going to keep talking about these passages. These are Romans Road, or simple passages of Scripture that we can memorize as God's people and be ready to share the gospel with people. I'm going to share next week about how witnessing is a conversation, not a presentation, you know. But that's the message that we have today. We messed up, and God made a plan. Number three, God made a plan to rescue you and me. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's our message. That's the gospel, the good news. I'm so glad for the good news. We have wonderful news to say. Did you know, I'm going to read this passage in closing, and then we'll pray in Romans 5, 6 to 8. This is so amazing. I want to share with anybody here this morning that has never received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, never done this, realizing that we have sin, realizing that our sin has separated us from God, God loves us, that what just exactly what happened here at the cross. And in Romans 5, 6 to 11, it says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. So when Jesus died 2,000 years ago, that was just the right time in history. Not a day early, not a day late. God is so precise on His timing. And now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God is restored by the death of His Son, while we were still His enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of His Son. So now, we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because of our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Awesome. Amen. Did you know that Jesus Christ, when He was suffering on that cross, He could look ahead and see you and me? And even though we were sinners, even though we were enemies of God, He died for us. Anyway, He died for us anyway, and that's how much He loves us. He could look ahead and see us in just our lostness and our filth and our sin. And you know, there was a time in my life when I was an enemy of God for 10 years of my life, and I was running as fast as I could away from God. And I was thinking about that, you know what? Christ was on the cross dying when I was an enemy. I was trying to do everything against Him, but He died for me. And anyways, He died for us anyways. You know, there's not many of us that would die for a good person. You know, for sure we wouldn't die for an enemy. But God hung on that cross and died for us, the Lord Jesus. So we were weak and helpless, and he provided our salvation. That's how much worth we have with God. So this morning, we have this opportunity once and only once. This life, or when Jesus comes back. Whatever comes first. And, you know, we need to make that decision. We don't know when we're going to die. We don't know when the Lord is coming back. But it's our time. Time to choose. Now we got this time. Awesome. And we will either walk in the garden with him again someday, or we will be banished from his presence forever. And, you know, I think that a lot of times people ask, what's hell really like? But I think the hardest part for me would be on this planet, God is here. His presence is here. He's working. He's blessing. He's meeting our needs. And we have a pretty wonderful life here. But in hell, God won't be there. And it will be a place where God is absent completely. No characteristics of God in hell at all. I can't imagine that forever and ever, you know, and we just have this wonderful news to share with people that they need to know, so they can make a choice, make a decision before that comes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that Father, was absolutely, that creation as we understand it, was absolutely perfect. And Lord, you never missed a step, and you never have missed a step throughout all the ages, Father. And you are absolutely true to your word. And Father, we can put our trust and our hope and our faith in you this morning. We thank you. Lord, we pray for courage today, for the days to come. We pray that you will give us such a desire for your word and to take upon us a few passages of scripture to memorize, to be ready, to give an answer for the hope that we have, Father. We pray. In Jesus' name, amen.